All right, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Forgive me, it's not on the screen, but it is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 19. And we're going to skip verses 13 through 15, so 7 through 12, and then from 16 to 19. The bulletin has John. Oh, okay, that's incorrect. yeah, it's easy to mistake those two. The book of 1 John, 1 John, yeah. 第一 요한의, 요한의 手紙 第一. Yeah, it's a very small book towards the end, in front of Revelation. Let's see, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. That's how it goes, right? So if you're at Revelation, go back. You go to Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. If you're there, please say amen. Okay, good. We're ready? All right. So I'll begin from verse 7 through 12, and then please join me at verse 16 to 19. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Let's read together from verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. The very words of God. Amen. Ooh. Illumine our hearts, O Master, who lovest all mankind with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our understanding. Open our eyes of our heart to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Impart also within us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing unto thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God. And unto thee we ascribe glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thine all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and forever, and ages unto ages. Amen. A lot of people complain, both in America, in Japan, I don't know, Dion, I don't know, how about Jamaica, but do people complain, also in the Philippines, that people don't know the true meaning of Christmas? For example, in America, many people complain, oh, Christmas here is only about presents. It's just going shopping and getting, you know, things. Yeah. Is that the case in Jamaica? A little bit? So-so? Yeah. I don't know. How about the Philippines? So-so? Yeah. 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 In the States, you know, there's lots of Christians, lots of churches, so there's a kind of culture war. Yeah. Christmas wars, it's called, right? In Japan, they say that Christmas is not about presents, it's about romance. Yeah. So, yeah, people don't know about the birthday of Jesus. They just know about the Christmas trees and Christmas songs, Christmas presents. But you cannot be single on Christmas Eve in Japan. Yeah, you have to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's like Valentine's Day in other countries. You know, you have to find a date. And so that's the most important thing. Yeah, stop complaining. Don't complain about these things. It's good that people think about Christmas as with presents. And it's good that people associate Christmas with lights, music, and love. Romance, that's good. Yeah, because God will use those things to communicate the gospel. Yeah, so of course, yeah. So, you know, if people are thinking about presents, yeah, then you can use that as a way to say God gave the best present through Christmas. It's the present of his love, his son. And when it comes to romance, yeah, God shows his love through Christmas. And that's what we're reading about in the scripture. By the way, yeah, for those of you who are not able to come to the Japanese service, this is what Christmas is about at Mitaki. This was this morning. These are the children performing handbell, and the preschoolers are reading the scripture, the Christmas story. There's the deaf members who are also preparing a Christmas play. And you listen to all of the events that we're planning to have. That's Christmas here at Mitaki. It's about busyness. It's about activity. It's about gospel choirs and handbell choirs and kids, Christmas, and so many. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It's amazing. That's what Christmas should be. It's a celebration. Christmas is not just one day. Christmas is a season. That's why there's four candles that are about to burn down on this panel. I'm going to blow them out because Joshua is nervous here. So, okay. So be at peace. Yeah, and now I'm going to set off the sprinklers with the smoke. Yeah, Christmas is a season. There's four Sundays of Advent. And according to the website that I clicked on, the third Sunday of Advent season is love. So Devin shared on hope, which is the first Sunday. Last week, we had a meditation on peace, which is the second Sunday. And this Sunday is about love. That's why we read from 1 John chapter 4. And the fourth Sunday of Advent is joy. Yeah, joy. The joy of Christmas. And so, yeah, looking forward to that. So, all right. So, we're talking about love. And it was interesting that, yeah, that's romance. That's what people think about love. If somebody says, I love you, it means I desire you. I am attracted to you. Right? That's a very emotional and very simple meaning of love. But then there's the Bible's love, the meaning of God's love. And of course it means God desires us. God wants us. God is calling us like a lover is calling his beloved. Yeah, that's just one meaning, but it's just like, if you think calling love an emotion is like saying love is like the Pacific Ocean. There's many oceans in the sea, in the world. There's the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Southern Ocean. There's so many bodies of water. Love is not just one part of the world. It's, I don't know if you, does this make sense? Yeah. There's lots of, love is so deep and so broad and so wide. And love is not just an emotion. Love is so much more. And so here's what I would like to do today. You came to church today to connect with God. That's why we come to church. We connect with the God who made us as we come to his place, his people. That's why we're here. We're singing his songs and we're reading his word. You're coming to connect with God. There are three ways that people connect with God. The intellectual connection, the emotional connection, and the volitional connection. Another way you could say it is you connect with your mind, with your heart, and with your hands. So there's three ways that we're going to meditate on the love of God. We're going to meditate first on understanding, and then on the feeling of God's love. And then at the end, we're going to act, the calling to action for God's love. So the first thing to connect with is with our mind. And so here in 1 John chapter 4, there's lots to think about. And so I only chose one thing to think about, and that is God's love is first. That's why it's called God's first love. God's love is first. And there's lots of scripture. There's lots of expressions that John uses to express it. So, love comes from God, and then twice he says that God is love, and then he says that we know and rely on the love God has for us. That means God is the source of love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And God in them. Yeah, take an hour, take 2 hours, take a walk, and repeat that phrase in your mind again and again. Whoever lives in God lives in love, lives in God, and God in them. We love because he first loved us. And so that's why here we have the PowerPoint theme is presence. Gifts. Because love comes from God, that means love is a gift from God. And so it's strange here to think about how love comes from God and yet God is love at the same time. What does that mean? It's like, is love like it comes from God like a letter comes from a mailman? Does love come from God like a text message comes from your friend? No. Love comes from God the way light comes from the sun. Love comes from God the way heat comes from fire. The sun is heat. The sun is fire. The sun is light. And therefore, light naturally comes. Heat naturally emanates from the sun or from the fire. So God is love, and therefore love emanates or flows from, it pours out from God. Does that make sense? Yeah? And then one thing that really struck me is God, love is a word about relationships. If I am in a room by myself, I cannot have love. I must have someone that I can give love to. There must be an object of my love. If I love guitars or music, that's one thing. If there's music or guitar in the room, I can love the music. But the greatest love is if there's a person. If my daughter is in the room, my love is at maximum. Okay? That's just a fact. Right? I have 5 boys, 1 girl. The 1 girl is worth 10 boys. That's how much I love my daughter. Okay? Yeah. But think of, it says God is love. The Muslim God cannot be love. And very interestingly, the Jewish God, it's almost there. Because if there's only one God from all eternity, there's no relationship. And so in Christianity, in the Bible, we find that God is 3 persons in one being. God the Father, God the Son. There's 2 persons. And because there's 2 persons, there's love. Because love is about relationship. Okay? But it's not just the 2. It's the 3. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, co-eternal, co-equal, co-substantial. All of them are God, and God is one. But because of that relationship, the nature of that being is love. Yeah, this is high clouds intellectual stuff, okay? I get it. I cannot understand it completely. I can only grasp at it. Like a baby trying to hold on to his father. He can't get his arms all the way around it, but he's holding on to what he can understand, right? So we try to understand God's love in the Trinity, in his nature. All right. That's enough of that. Let's go. Let's apply this to our life. If God is love and God comes from love, God's love is first. It means we don't decide what love is. Love is not based on us, love is based on God. For example, you don't decide that if I love God, maybe God will love me. If I go to church, or I am a good person, or I give enough money, or I try not to do bad things, I hope God will accept me and love me. No, that's not what the Bible says. That's not good news. Because human love is never enough. Man cannot save himself. It's the other way around. God loved you first, right? We love because he first loved us. God decides. So because he gave you his love, you can now reflect his love like a mirror. So, there's an expression in modern culture, in modern society, it's coming to Japan, it's very popular in the West. Love is love. You can't tell me who I marry and who I have a relationship with. You can't tell me what kind of gender I am or what kind of gender I can have a loving relationship with, because love is love. I can love whoever I want. And if they love me, who are you to tell me it's not love? Does this sound familiar? What's the Christian answer? Love is love? No. God is love. God decides. God defines it. God is the one who chooses who you are with. So there's just a couple of things to apply. You don't try to love God so that He'll love you back. No. He has already loved you. You're just returning His love back to Him. And number two, let Him define what love is. And His definition of love is the best definition of love. Okay, that's the intellect. Let's try to connect with the emotion. God sent His Son. It says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And then He continues, this is love. He just said it in verse 9. He'll say it again in verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved, but that He loved us and sent His Son. So He repeats it twice. God sent His Son to show His love. We understand God's love when we see His Son. The purpose is two purposes. Verse 9, that we might live through Him. And in verse 10, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved brothers and sisters, when this truth, this message comes into your heart, and it is like a fire coming into wax. If this penetrates into you, the message of this truth will melt your heart. If it's preached well, and if we understand it well. How? Why? Because here, it says, this here, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. If you're like me, you are constantly remembering the past. And you're constantly regretting the things that you said or that you did. Now, you don't have to say amen. You don't have to say ouch. Okay? I can just see it already. Some of you are like, no, don't look at me, Pastor Chris. I'm not going to look at you. All right? But you just, oh, I can't, what the, I was such a fool. I can't believe I did such a thing. Oh, I'm never going to be able to get over this. Regret, right? There's some things that we did in the past we just can't seem to erase. But even worse than regret is guilt. There's some things that were mistakes, that because we were young and foolish, stupid, and just blind. Okay, we regret it, but you know, it's what you do when you're young. But then there's things that are not mistakes, they are sins. We didn't do it because we're foolish or young. We did it because we wanted our way. We wanted something. We had a desire. And we knew it's the wrong thing, but we still did it anyway. We took it anyway. We got it anyway. Or there's things that we know we should have done, but we didn't do it. We should have said it. We should have told the truth. We should have, but because of our selfishness, our fear, our cowardice, our arrogance, we didn't do it. So there's this stain of guilt It's hard to wash off. It's hard, you know. Yeah. Yeah. My eldest sons are now 16 and 14. I can't keep up with their ages. Anyways, they're getting to where they smell pretty bad. Okay? They'll come home from school. They've had PE or they've had, you know, basketball or and they just don't smell good. Okay? Get in the shower. Wash that off.
Okay.
Right? The problem is, when I go upstairs into their room, I open the door, the smell just isn't, it's like a punch in the face. It's insulting to your senses. It's like, what? And they can't, they showered, they did the laundry, but the smell is still there. It's in the bed. It's on the sheets. It's in their closet, and they can't get it out, right? Yeah. Some of us, we live with the guilt of sin. We can't get the smell away. We can't seem to wash it off. Whatever we do, however many times we say sorry, every time we go back. And God says, oh, I love you, my dear child. I love you so much. I have provided a way to remove the smell, the stench, and the guilt, and the shame. I have found a way to cover all of your sins. You see, this atoning sacrifice, it's a very difficult word to translate. There's many different ways to translate it. One way is cover. So in the Hebrew, this is from the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs. It says, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all sins. The word cover is provide an atoning sacrifice, a propitiation. Okay? And then in the Psalms, it says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, atoned for, and whose sins are covered. John, who wrote 1 John, excuse me, the Son was sent to be a cover for our sins. It means to cover all our wrongs, to atone, to bring forgiveness, to move away the smell, the stench, and the stain. God provided a way with his Son. That's love. It's not romance, not a feeling. It's an action, a conviction. And that's what he's saying. So that's dealing with the past, okay? Verse 10 is about the past. Verse 9 is about the present and the future. We can now live in Christ because he has been sent. God was born into humanity so that humans can be born into God, born of God. God entered our world so that we, through Christ, can enter into his family, into his kingdom. That's what this love did for us. Amen? Okay. Well, thank you, Miwa. So let take an hour, take a week, and let that enter into your heart. You're clean. You're cleansed. No more guilt. Stop living in regret. So here's what the enemy will do. Look at you, you fool. Look at you, you were young. Look at that thing you said. And he'll replay the tape again and again. Here's what you do. You go to your settings in your mind. You go to that place with that memory, and you press delete. You delete it with the love of God. Okay? And you tell the enemy, or you tell that voice, God sent his love that I can live in him. God sent his Son that I can live now and tomorrow in Christ without regret. Like we sang today, I live in freedom. I'm free. And you replay that, and you repeat it, and here's what it'll do. It's like a pop-up ad that you try to delete, but it comes back, right? You delete it, and delete it, and delete it. Eventually, it will go away. It takes time, right? That's how it works. Finally, the intellect. God is love. The emotion. God sent his son. The last thing is action. Our hands and our feet. And so he says, dear friends, let us love one another. And actually it continues. We read in the end, we read up to verse 16. It actually continues. We have this command from him. If anyone loves God, he must love his brother and sister. For anyone who does not love God, for anyone who says he loves God but hates his brother, he is a liar. We read that. For anyone who hates his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So this love that we have in our mind and in our heart, it should be manifest. How? Okay, now while I was talking about love, most of us were thinking about being kind and being nice and forgiving and just being nice to people. That's love. Historically, from the first days of the Christian church, in the second century to the eighth century, maybe into the Middle Ages, that word love means this picture. It actually means giving. Christmas, through the church, in the early church, meant we had parties and feasts for the poor. That's what church was at Christmas time. It was a time when the rich people in the church would open up their home and have a banquet or a feast for the poorest people in their community. First for the church, and then in the neighborhood. That's what love meant in Christianity in the early days. And so yesterday, and actually today also, I was out downtown. I don't know if you've been downtown yesterday or today, but around the major departments are Sogo, Fukuya, Tenmaya, is that one? Yeah. And then also around Hondori, in front of Aoyama. My students from my school were out collecting donations for the Philippines, for Sudan, for South Africa, for East Timor, to collect money for schools and for medicine for malaria, for the poorest of the poor around the world. Okay? And the people, it was interesting, the average person who would come and put money in the box was pretty much old women. Yeah. So maybe from 60 and up, there's always just the little old ladies with, you know, white hair, and they open up their, and they do like this, like that, and they walk away. That was 80% of the people who gave. Why? I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe older women have more compassion than the regular. So the people that really stood out for me, there was two kinds of people. There was one, there was a group of three young men, I would say in their 20s. They were just cool. They were waiting at the Hondori crosswalk, and they saw us, and they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. And they took out their wallet, and they took out, and they put some money. One at a time, three cool young men, right? Like Lord Will's age, kind of cool and young, right? And I was like, oh, that's... And in my heart, I was like, God bless you, boys. God bless you. Good job. Because 99% of the cool young men just walked by, right? And then, the ones that really almost made me cry. Sometimes a parent is walking with their small child, maybe a preschooler, 5 or 6 years old. Yeah, very small. The child is holding her mother's hand or their daddy's hand, and they see the box. They asked Papa, what's this? And the Papa said, oh, they're getting money. They're asking for money. They don't really understand. They say, Papa, Mama, yaritai, yaritai, like a game, right? And so the daddy goes, okay, all right. Takes out his wallet. He gives him 500 yen. And the little child, he has this money. He's excited. He's happy. He gets to do something. And he comes, and he's so small that our students, you know, they have to kneel down so that they can put the money in the box, right? Yeah. About 4 or 5 times it happened yesterday. And I could still see it clear in my mind. My student kneeling down. And the little girl, the little boy, going, arigato. And every time I saw that, I thought, that is us. That's Christmas. God kneels down so that he can receive our love. Christ is coming down. God steps down from his throne to receive our gift. Not only that, but who are we? When we give to the poor, when we give to someone who can't return our gift, all we're doing is we're giving God's money. It's God's money. It's God's possessions. It's God's wealth and riches. And we're just giving it to the one who needs it, right? Our money is not ours. God has given it to us to give to others. That's the Christian meaning of love in the first centuries of the Christian church. So here's what we do. If you're going to go downtown, all right, if you pass by Sogo or Kamiecho or Hondori or Fukuya, or dozo, please give. But this is very shallow. The best way to give to someone is face-to-face. There's a kind of giving where you don't see the person that you're giving to. It's a distant love. But God came down to close the distance at Christmas time. So the best way to give is if somebody is there face-to-face, eye-to-eye, and you're sharing God's love. That's the way to do it. Give to someone who can't give back. That's Christmas love. That's God's love. That's Bible love. That's Jesus love. It's more than presents, more than romance, more than dating. It's Advent. It's the whole meaning of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. So Father, please take what's in our wallets, in our hands, and please help us to open our wallets, open our hands, open our hearts to the poorest of the poor this season. In Jesus' name, amen.